Lord, you are the prayer answering God.
Amen, amen.
And Lord, let the cry of our hearts just bring forth the prayers like incense before your throne. Yes, yes. Lord, teach us how to pray. Make us men and women of prayer. Raise up your prayer warriors, your prayer intercessors that can move the gates of heaven and conquer the gates of hell. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Actually, what I want to speak about this evening is about prayer. The rain was a kind of a blessing because it forced us to have a good time of prayer. But in Luke chapter 11, reading from verse 1 to 4, Luke chapter 11, we have Jesus Christ's teaching on prayer. Jesus Christ is the master teacher. And one thing we have to learn from Jesus Christ is how Jesus prayed, so that our prayers can be powerful and effective and we can receive answers. That's the aim of praying. It's to receive answers. So sometimes it's good to keep a diary maybe, or a record of what you're praying for, and so that you know when the answer comes. Sometimes the answer comes quickly, sometimes it takes a long time. You have to persevere. But if you have a record of things that you're really praying about, then you will know when the answers come. You know, I've got some things in my heart that I've been praying for a long time. Haven't seen the full answer yet. But Jesus taught us to be like the persistent widow and to lay hold of God's kingdom. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Would someone like to read for me, please?
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John Bonner taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this: Father, may your holy name be honored, may your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need.
Thank you. Here we see that John the Baptist, he taught his disciples how to pray. And then Jesus Christ, he also did that work. So every man of God, every woman of God, one important thing you have to teach others is how to pray. Now, you can't teach others unless you yourself have learnt and have that depth of prayer. And that's why the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," because they saw there was something special about his prayers. And they wanted to have what Jesus had, that special relationship with his Father. And that's why they had that desire awakened in their heart. We need every Christian to have that same desire awakened in their heart. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. You have to say, "Jesus, teach me how to pray." And the best time to become strong and close to God is when you are young. When you're still a child. You know when you pray, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins." Your heart becomes clean. I was blessed to receive Jesus Christ in my heart. The first time I went forward at a, let's call it an altar call or salvation call that I can remember was when I was 8 years old. And salvation was real to me because I knew that when I sinned, there was darkness in my heart. But when I prayed to Jesus, I felt a cleansing. I felt my heart becoming clean. And I felt that I was accepted by God. So as a child, I knew the reality of God listening and answering my prayer. I mean, what's the point of praying if you don't know if God is listening to you? If you don't know if something is happening, if something is taking place in your life, or you're receiving the answers? So the first place to start to become powerful in prayer is to break the barriers of sin, have the cleansing through the blood of Jesus, and know that you have a true relationship with God, that you are a child of God, that God is your Father, And that's why you can come to God, as Jesus Christ said, and pray to him as your Father. The disciples listening and seeing the way Jesus prayed, they saw that it was special. They saw it was wonderful. And we want that. We want to have a wonderful prayer life, a special prayer life. So really what I'm sharing about this evening is the importance of teaching people to pray. Teaching people to pray. We can do it with Bible teaching, but most important is to put things into action. And that's why it's good to have prayer times. And there are different kinds of prayer. There's your own personal prayer. Then there can be prayer, having a prayer partner that you meet with to pray with. Then there can be like what we did this evening, which was as a combined church. We had a prayer time. And in the book of Acts, which is the book of the early church, we see there were so many prayer meetings when the whole church gathered together in unity. And that unity of crying out to God has more power, you could say, than praying alone. Yes, men like Elijah were powerful praying alone. But something with the early church was when they gathered together and cried out to God with one heart, and God did supernatural things. He sent the Holy Spirit to fill them with boldness. He stretched out his hand to anoint the apostles to perform miracles, signs and wonders. He sent an angel to release Peter out of prison because of the answers to prayers of the early church. And Jesus Christ is the same today. He hears us, he hears our prayers, and he moves. He releases his power so that his kingdom can come. A part of God's kingdom coming is driving out the demons and seeing the healing of the sick and seeing people baptized in the Holy Spirit, seeing people, their lives changed. We want every Christian to be, let's call it, on fire for God, because God has touched their lives and they're excited about what God is doing. Okay, the reason I had a burden on my heart for teaching people how to pray is because this afternoon when I was coming to visit Pastor Reginald, I had to catch the bus from Nosori. And I'm always interested who's going to sit beside me, because obviously that's a person God wants me to witness and share the gospel with on the bus. Okay, so I was sitting. Many of the seats were becoming full, so the next load of people, they had no choice. Someone had to sit beside me. Okay, so a Fijian girl, I would say she would be mid to late teenage years, she sat beside me. So I gave her one of my testimonies, how Jesus transformed my life. Didn't say much else to her other than, would you like to read this? Now, sometimes it's not hard to witness to people. You might not know what to say to them, but you can always say, would you like to read this? And you can hand them a gospel tract. That's why I like to carry tracts with me. So she read it, and I just sat waiting for her to finish. So she slowly went through the whole thing. Finally, she got to the end. So I asked her, are you going to any church? And of course she said yes. And then I asked her, are you a strong woman of God? And she said, she sort of twisted, screwed up her face and said, I'm not sure. So that's the problem. People who are going to church who are still not sure if they're close to God. That's the tragedy. So I asked, well, why don't you know if you're close to God? And she didn't seem to be give me a direct answer, so I had to try to ask a few questions to try and find out. So I asked her, how is your prayer? Do you pray? And she said, oh, I pray on Sundays. Okay, if you're going to be strong in your walk with God, you need a bit more prayer than just leaving it all week to Sunday. I liken prayer to breathing, our oxygen. If we only breathed on Sunday, we certainly wouldn't last very long. And a lot of people are spiritually dead because of a lack of prayer. So my simple encouragement to her was, when you wake up in the morning, while you're still lying on your bed, start praying then. Before you go to sleep at night, pray. I mean, I think that's just the basic, simple thing that should be a normal part of a Christian's life. I can't believe that there is a person who thinks that they're walking with God, they wake up in the morning and they don't even pray. Or they go to sleep at night and they don't even pray. So I think we have to encourage every Christian to have this basic discipline, this basic habit in their life. Her heart was very open to God, so I tried to encourage her as best as I could to be disciplined in the area of prayer, and then you will not have doubts. You will not just be a Sunday Christian. You will know that you are walking with God. One good thing I can say about many of these Fijian people that they are actually very honest. You know, if they're not close to God, I've heard many of them tell me that they're not. That's a good thing. Because many people will say, oh, I'm close to God, but they're not at all. They're not being honest. So praise God for those who are being honest. So if you're being honest today, no, I am not very strong in prayer. Well, God wants to challenge you today to become strong in prayer. Now, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we see the responsibility of a father, a responsibility of a husband. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Whoever turns to it first can read it for me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4.
Parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction.
Okay. My version says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, which is just training your children in the ways of God. And that includes many areas, but I think the most important thing to teach children is how to pray. And especially fathers have that responsibility as the head of the family. I encourage whoever is this boy's father, you know, you take 5 minutes. If you're busy in the morning, you've got to go to work, then you do it in the evening. But you pray with him. Pray the blessing of God with your child. You know, probably that Fijian girl, I suspect, has her father spent time praying with her? Probably not, and that's why she doesn't pray. She hasn't learned how to pray from her parents. You know, the parents have the greatest responsibility bringing up their children in the ways of God. And we see a good example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And here we see the help of also the grandmother and the mother inspiring and planting the word of God in Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Who would like to read? Okay, the blessing of God in a family. Grandmother, mother, now son, Timothy. The faith of God is inside of them. Obviously, the presence of God was in this family. I have to say that I was blessed to be in that kind of family also. My grandmother just passed away about a year ago. She was a godly woman and a woman of prayer. Especially in her older age, she could not travel, she could not go far, and her health was not so good. But what she could do was that she could pray. And she continued to pray for, you know, some of my unsaved cousins, relatives. And she kept lifting them up to God. Your prayers can be answered many years after you've gone to heaven. Because your prayers are in the hands of God. I remember Bill Sobrisky, the New Zealand's evangelist, and his testimony was that his mother had prayed for him for 10 years that he would get saved. Then his mother died. She did not live to see the answer while she was on the earth. But a few years later, he got saved. He became a powerful evangelist. And up there in heaven, she would have seen many, many people coming into heaven because of her prayers. Amen. That through her prayers, God raised up a powerful preacher of the gospel. Amen. You have to believe that through your prayers, God will raise up powerful anointed servants of God. God will raise up prophets and apostles, evangelists. Many people complained about Jesus saying that he was just a carpenter's son. And they were saying, well, who is he to think that he is doing all these miracles or things? See, they had not prayed for their children, for God to raise up prophets. They had a lack of faith. So when a mighty prophet was among them, they resisted the work of God. They had not been praying for the work of God to be fulfilled. But God chose Mary and Joseph because they were humble, because they were righteous. They obeyed God's law. They were servants of God. That's why God chose them. So Jesus Christ himself, in becoming a human being, God chose, let's say, parents that would be suitable for a child to be brought up with the high call of God. Is your family suitable for the children you have to be brought up for the high call of God? Believe for it, even if they're older. Even if you're older now, your prayers are still powerful. And as I said, my grandmother faithfully praying, many of her prayers, she has not seen the answer, but we're believing that many answers are still yet to come. Okay, just some quick pointers on how to encourage or to strengthen our prayers. We have to remember to pray from our heart. You know, it's not weak prayers. It's not, let's say, just traditional prayers. It's really opening up our heart to God, sharing our heart, releasing things. It's the closest friendship. You know, it's the Father, with our eternal Father, and we are opening our heart to him. We're pouring out our heart, expressing ourselves. I like one evangelist who really shook America with the gospel in the 1840s. His name was Charles Finney, and he was a proud lawyer, and he started going to church because in the law studies were many references to the Bible. So it made him interested to look into the Bible, and he started going to a church, and he started going to prayer meetings. And at the prayer meeting, some of the Christians asked him, "Would you like us to pray for you?" And he said, "No, I've been to many of your prayer meetings, and I've seen that God doesn't answer your prayers." What a rebuke. So anyway, even though he said that, he was deeply convicted of his sin. But he was a bit prideful, so he decided to go into the forest. And as he was out there in the forest, thinking that no one would see him, he would hear some leaves rustling. He would look up to make sure no one was coming or no one was going to see him. But suddenly his heart was broken because he realized how proud and arrogant man he was. And when he broke himself and humbled himself before Jesus, in a short period of time, he had a face-to-face vision of Jesus Christ. He became probably still America's most powerful evangelist that there has ever been. I know that Billy Graham preached to bigger crowds, but Charles Finney, he went through towns and towns and villages of America in the 1840s, 30s, 50s, 60s, and just massive move of God wherever he went. And he was a mighty man of prayer. And he also had two prayer intercessors that would pray for him for his revival crusades. And they wouldn't even come to the crusades often. They'd just be locked in the room and they'd be groaning and crying out to God. And they got massive answers to prayer. And that's why it really spread a revival in America at that time. America needs that again. It needs those prayer warriors. It needs those breakthroughs. So he has also some very good teaching, how to pray with faith, how to pray earnestly, how to pray zealously. One of the promises of God I like to think of when I pray is about how we approach the throne of God's grace. By faith, when we are praying, it's like we are literally coming to God. I know that we can't see God face to face on this earth, but there is a sense in which we can pray to God face to face. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Moses, because God literally came and spoke to him audibly. He would have that close relationship. So when we pray to God, we have to believe that we are coming into God's presence before his very throne in heaven, and we are speaking to him face to face. Then we also have to have just a simple childlike trust in God. If you've got a certain thing that you're praying about, and you're praying about it for some time, you're not feeling you're getting a breakthrough, don't give up, just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And there will come a time where you feel in your heart that God is answered. Yes, God has heard my prayer. And once you know that God has heard your prayer, that's when you just simply trust him. You trust him. You have to come to the position, and you might not see the answer straight away, but you know that that prayer is in God's hands. So I can be at peace now. And I have to trust God that he's going to answer according to his best wisdom. God's wisdom is great. And how he answers our prayers can be sometimes different than what we think. It can be actually work out for better. Because God has promised to work out all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So God is working through your prayers. It's like we are in a partnership with God. We are walking with God. God outworks things through us. So that's why prayer is so powerful. A couple of other things I want to mention about prayer, and one is also the blessing of praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. That's why I like to encourage Christians to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of praying in tongues. If someone would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Okay, it's talking about two kinds of praying. One was with your mind, that is formulating your own words, but one is with your spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, one of the initial gifts is release of speaking in other languages, speaking with tongues. And that doesn't come from your mind. It's not you forming words that you don't know or gibberish. No, it's coming from outside of your spirit. It's coming from within your spirit. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So there are times we have to believe in just the power of speaking in tongues and releasing that form of prayer also. But of course, there's also the praying with our minds, which is we are giving our own thoughts and our own prayers. Okay, I also want to quickly answer one question, or just one answer to it, because it's a complicated question. And that is, when it seems as if our prayers are not being answered, what do we think when our prayers are just not being answered? And there are many different answers to that, but I just want to pick out one answer. And it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he's really giving the answer as to why God was not answering his prayer according to how he wanted it. And instead, God gave him a different answer. Someone like to read for me. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 9.
But keep me from being puffed up with pride. was given a painful physical ailment which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me and keep me from being proud. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak.
Continue just a little bit further.
I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me.
Okay. Three times he pleaded with Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul was a strong man of prayer. So when I think of Paul pleading with Jesus, he was really seeking to lay hold of Jesus Christ. You know, of course, Paul in his conversion had that face-to-face encounter with Christ. Even in the book of Acts, we see other times he saw Jesus in a vision or a trance. He heard Jesus' voice many times, telling him basically not to give up, to keep preaching the gospel, do not be silent. So he was a man that was used to experiencing Christ in a powerful way. So when I see him pleading with Jesus, I can feel the strength of his prayers. And that's why Jesus answered, or possibly in an audible voice, saying that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. You see, Jesus didn't want to remove that problem from his life. Jesus allowed that problem to stay in his life so that he would realize that he is weak, but he would lay hold of God's grace, and then that would open the way for God's power. So, you know, there's a difference between us doing things in our own strength and God accomplishing things by his power. We might think we've done the best, but actually it's not the best because it was just our own strength. But God can have higher things for us. And at times he has to make us weak. Continuing, my version says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Your one, I think, said Christ's protection may rest on me. So you think that's quite interesting, that through weakness, God's power rests on us. So that's very encouraging also. When you have a weakness, let that give you faith that God's power is resting on you. So you cannot do it in your own strength, but God's power is with you to accomplish it. So it produces the faith within us that what we're going to accomplish is through God. Amen. And that's what prayer is all about. It's accomplishing things through God which are impossible. But to God, all things are possible. Amen. So I just wanted to give you this encouragement because we need a strength of prayer in the church. In New Zealand, there's the Jesus Calls ministry that comes from India, which has been also started in Fiji, which is a powerful ministry in India. And they seek to start many prayer towers in many places. So I got to visit that one in Auckland, New Zealand. And it had a nice picture on the wall of, it looks, my guess, it was like an American family from the 1850s. And it was the father, the mother, maybe an auntie, and a few children, all sort of on their knees praying to God. And that's what happens through that revival in the times of Charles Finney. It established devotion in the family, that the family had their prayer devotion times, and it's like they had their, you know, it was just their living room, but it's like it became their prayer room. And it was a family prayer room. And the family prayed together. And there was that strength of prayer which enabled the revival to sweep America at that time. I remember one time when I was doing missionary work in a part of Africa where many people were becoming Christians. And there was a real open heaven for God. And I was rejoicing. You know, why is this place so blessed by God? And then one time I had to leave the house early to catch a vehicle to travel somewhere. And when I got up early in the morning and was walking through the town, walking through the village, I saw the reason why. I heard people praying in this house. I heard people praying at this house. This was six, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. People praying in this house. And I realized why there was a move of God in that part of Africa. It's because the people of God had put that discipline of prayer into their lives. And I heard that that kind of discipline was also in Fiji for a long time. I don't know how Fiji is doing these days with that discipline, but it was a habit that was established at one point of time in many of the Fijian villages. And it gave the habits of opening the way for God's Spirit to move in a mighty way. You know, God answers prayer. You know, if we're going to see and win greater victories for God's kingdom, we have to believe God, trust God, that He's going to answer our prayers in a greater way. Just the final thought, you know, I was thinking, God, why aren't I seeing enough, more miracles? And, you know, it's a challenge to me. I just have to start with myself. Lord, I've experienced many things from You, but I want more. I've tasted of God's kingdom, but why? How am I going to see more? What do I want to accomplish for God? I want to see miracles. I want to see God's power. I want to see revival. You know, God's power touched me when I was 16. I was in New Zealand, and I expected revival to come instantly. It hasn't come sufficiently as I've wanted. And I think, you know, the church in New Zealand needs to wake up and get praying, seeking God. But it's got to start with individuals who have the fire of God in their heart. Following Jesus isn't a one-day thing. It's a lifetime. Right until the end, I'm going to keep the fire of God burning in my heart and the belief that there's going to be a mighty revival in New Zealand as well as Fiji. I remember one time I was witnessing on the streets. There was a group of Christians doing some songs and sharing the gospel on the streets. And there was a man who walked past and he just mocked it. He just said, "Ugh, this is rubbish. This is nothing." And the thought in my heart was, well, there's going to be such a mighty revival in New Zealand that even that man is going to get saved. Even that man's going to get touched by God. You know, I haven't fully seen it yet, but the fire is still burning in my heart. The fire for revival. The fire for a move of God. God, You can do greater things. The best is yet to come. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank You, Lord. The fire is in my heart. Let the fire be in this church. Hallelujah. Let the fire be in every Christian, from the youngest to the oldest, that their prayers are powerful. Their prayers are important. Lord, You said that Your house will be a house of prayer. It'll be a place where answers are received. Lord, You're making Your church into a house of prayer, not so that so that nothing happens, it's so that God can be seen, so that answers to prayer can come. So Lord, let greater things yet happen in this church. Let there be an open heaven. Amen. Hear the prayers of this place, Lord God. Amen. Let it be powerful, let it be anointed in Jesus' name. Amen.